Well, last week we looked in Ruth chapter 1, so I want to pick it up again in chapter 2. A lot of things you can think about, a lot of typology, a lot of things that God's showing us through this tremendous book in the Old Testament. I pointed out last week there's two books in the Old Testament particularly that have the names of women, Ruth, and of course Esther. We think about how that she was used so much of God. But God had a plan for these women. And remember, we studied through the book of Judges, this book of Ruth does come in that time period. And it was a very trying time for God's people. They had sinned in so many ways, and God gave them over into the hands of the enemies. And a lot of circumstances where their crops were being destroyed, there was so much happening. But yet, you can see how the grace of God reaches out into this woman's heart named Ruth and begins a good work in her. Of course, he was going to fulfill the coming of the Messiah through this godly line, David's lineage, just as he had promised. But so much to think about when you read the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And they only had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man, well, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to lie on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kinsman, a kindred of Elimelech." And so as you think about this book of Ruth begins, as chapter 1 we pointed out, they left Bethlehem and went down into Moab. And so it begins in a famine, but it ends in chapter 4 with the birth of Ruth's son with Boaz. And so what a contrast it is from the beginning to the end. You see what God did, miraculous work. Now, Ruth, and she, in chapter 1, at verse number 16 and 17, she gives this reply to Ruth, or to Naomi, when she was considering staying down there in the land of Moab. And remember now that Moabites were the descendants of, as after the a great destruction of the Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot thought, they thought, the daughters of Lot thought they were the only people left on earth. This incestuous type of relationship the daughters had with the father there, Lot, ended up bringing about these Moabite people, one descendants of the daughter of Lot's daughter. And so, they gave Israel problems all through history. And during the time they were going through the wilderness and their journeys, and they were continually thorn in their side. And so that's why the Lord said that Moab is my watchtower. And he compared these soldiers of Moab to just ended up having to wash the feet of these Israeli soldiers. And so there was a lot of history. Moab was a place where the enemies of Israel dwelt. And really, as you think about this in chapter 1, as they left and went down into Moab, Elimelech, this man that went down with his wife Naomi, they were leaving the, you know, Bethlehem's a house of bread, so it's called. They were in a famine. But you know, it would have been so much better if they just waited on God to give them grace and mercy where they were. He would have answered their prayers. Later they found here in chapter 1, the last part, how there was bread in Bethlehem. And so instead of staying where God's people were, in a way of just like Lot, he just went down into Sodom. And the men were wicked sinners exceedingly before the Lord. You know, we never come out ahead when we leave God's people and go and begin to dwell in a wicked state where the world has its way and all these things happen. We were talking earlier this afternoon about how God saved people and brought them out of those terrible circumstances. And the devil sometimes says, I'll give you a week or two, but you know, God still is able to keep us and keep us in the right place. And so I'm glad that they could have stayed, but they left and went down into this place where the enemy dwelt. But they came out, they found out that there was bread. But you see this classic answer that Ruth gives in chapter 1 and verse number 16. She says, just entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. She said, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so if all but death come between me. And so Ruth said, I want to go. You know, she was a Moabite. Their generation did not have God. She learned through Ruth's, or Naomi's interest into this terrible place about the God of Israel. And you know, like I said, they should have stayed where they were, but it's like a missionary when they leave this country with the gospel and the good news. Go around the world somewhere. People hear about what God's been doing back in the homeland where the blessings are. They learn the great grace of God and they want to know something about it. And so she was a blessing indirectly, you might say, by going into this place, and Ruth comes out. Her other daughter-in-law stayed. But anyhow, as you come to chapter 2, you can see how that Naomi, with this kinsman redeemer there, named Boaz, was about to change everything for them. Now consider this, you know, before God changes circumstances, most of the time God changes our hearts. And if our circumstances sometimes change for the better, well, we just would become worse off. That's why God doesn't bless his children when they go into sin. God's not going to be a partaker of sin. And if we decide we'll just play with this or that, we end up in problems because God's never going to bless us like he could and wants to if we'll just remain with him. But anyhow, when we remain the same, our conditions get worse, even though there may be money in the bank. I heard a preacher say not long ago, one of the bad things about success is you might be going in the wrong direction, and it's worse for you to have success and be making money hand over fist when you're away from God, because you know a lot of times this prosperity blinds people, and they begin to think, well, I must be pretty good. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm able to do. And so success for a sinner is actually deceiving to them. Well, God's not going to bless you any more than you'll bless your little children when they're out here playing in the mud hole and you told them to come back in the house. You know what I mean? You get their attention. But anyhow, Naomi, you can see, was bitter in chapter 1 against God. But Ruth was willing for God to have his way in her life. And so God began this great work in the heart of Ruth. And Ruth ends up influencing Naomi. And so you can see, Ruth and Naomi had no really idea at the onset of what God's eternal plan was going to do in this whole situation. And if we want God to work in our lives and the circumstances that he wants to accomplish in us, we have to realize there are some conditions on our part that have to be followed. And here it is, you can see in Ruth chapter number 2, he gives some purposes in the life and some conditions. And well, I'll just show you what they are. In verse number 1 through 3, we have to realize that we live by faith in the Lord. Amen. Completely, wholly, totally, all of the time, the just shall live by faith. And we'll see as we go from verse 4 through 6, that we live by the grace of God. Now, I mean, there's some powerful statements in chapter 2, as you'll see in a moment. And then the last part of this chapter, verse 17 through 23, we can see how we live by this hope that he puts in our heart. We absolutely look to him. Well, look in verses 1 through 3. Ruth was not the kind of person that would just sit around and be idle. She asked for permission from Naomi that she might go glean in the fields, that they might have food to eat. Now remember, there were no eagles, there was no supermarket and quick places to get a burger or anything else. In that day, it's kind of like, you know, some of you all remember your grandparents and how they told you how they lived. Some of you might have lived the way they did. You pretty much existed on what you could grow out in the garden or raise in the field and things. And so in order for them to eat, remember, there had been a famine. Boaz had a crop. But anyhow, there had been a famine. And so in order for them to eat, she took the initiative in verses 1 through 3 here and asked that she might go out into the fields to glean. Now, of course, they were familiar with the law of Moses, Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 24, and I'll show you another verse in a moment. But wherever the reapers went to reap the harvest, they were instructed by God to leave just some on the corners of the crop. Don't just wipe it all out. Leave a little bit on purpose for these poor people that couldn't take care of themselves, that needed that helping hand. Now, that was good, wasn't that good? You know, today there's people who have the idea to get all you can and get all you get and then sit on the can. Don't let anybody have anything, you know. I heard a man say one time, I believed in goodness and generosity and kindness, and I believe if a man's down, kick him. And if he can get up, he's got the opportunity to rise above. Well, that's a whole way to live, man. I'm glad God gives us grace. And so we expect that, but we live and go by faith. And so wherever the reapers went, they were to consider the poor. There's a verse in Leviticus 19, verse number 9. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And so he says also in Deuteronomy, and some of these verses here, he talks about this. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And so, evidently, Naomi and Ruth have been talking about this way they can find something to eat because they were among God's people now. And he had instructed them, especially for those not just poor, but for the poor widows. You know, Jesus talked about how these Pharisees would not lift their little fingers, but they were buying heavy burdens upon the backs of even these poor people. And the widows, they would sell their houses out from under them just so they could have more themselves. Well, I'm glad God takes care of us people when we need it, aren't you? And he did for them. And so to live by faith means that we take the Word of God and then we act upon it. Ruth believed that God would provide for her, and so she got up, and she began to do something, and it's amazing how much you can do when you just try. People said around, I just don't think I can do this now. She didn't have any idea where she's going. There were no fences erected, signs erected, but today we have special ways of knowing who owns what and all that. But there were just fields out before. And you see, God had a purpose in sending her where she was supposed to go. You notice in verse number 3, the Bible says her half, H-A-P, was to lie on part of the field that belonged to Boaz. And this word half, it's out of the idea, this happened out to be as it was. You think of the word half in this verse, you can think of the providence of God. And you know, God has a way of working his will out in our life. You say, well, I happen to be here, and I happen to hear that sermon, or I happen to do that. God knows all about it. And I've heard so many times people say, who's been talking to you, preacher? How did you know that about me? That you was talking to me tonight. Well, God knows. And so he was taking care of Ruth, coming back to the God that she was so concerned about. Now, here Boaz enters the story in these first few verses. He happened to be a relative but of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. And he was a mighty man of wealth. And so, through the providence of God, she happened to come along to this place where Naomi's husband's kin people were. And you'll see later how that they had the right to redeem the estate of her dead husband and pay off the mortgage. And the wife went along with his property and stuff. In the godly life, you know, there's a lot to think about here. But God had it all put together in the way that he was working it out for him. And I'm glad that God works these things out for us. Well, look in verse number 4. We have to live by the grace of God. She was about to experience this. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord be with you." They were blessing God when they come together. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves, for she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." And so, he said, a boy shows up and finds out there's some strange person now reaping among his workers there, and sees her. Notice in verse 2, Ruth, when she goes out, says something about in whose sight I might find grace. In verse number 10, she falls on her face before him and says, "I have found grace in thine eyes." And in verse 13, she talks about this favor that God has so graciously given her. And so God's grace and favor is being bestowed upon her, and just like us, you know, she was a Moabite. She was an alien to the house of Israel. But God was giving her grace. Some people have pictured this, of course, as, Ruth is the type of that Gentile bride that comes to salvation, comes to God. We're not Gentile. We're not Jews. We weren't given the promises that Abraham's descendants were given. We were over there of this generation, people worshiping the sun and the moon and everything that you can imagine. We don't have God as Gentiles in our background. You're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And so that's the way Ruth was. She was a Moabite, an alien to Israel. But now she was about to experience the grace of God in her life. And so that channel of grace came through this one called Boaz, and how good it is to know that God still is able to work even in bad times.
Amen.
We're experiencing a lot of problems today, but you know the grace of God can still operate.
Amen.
And I wouldn't be here tonight putting out any effort if I didn't think God was still able to do great things in this day that we're living in. Well, I can see it happening right here in this church. God's working.
Amen.
And he don't want his work here. He wants to work down there. He wants to work everywhere. And, you know, it's amazing how you can move around and see how God's working in people's lives. And somebody today says, "Well, I'm glad God gave me a different job. Now I can give them knowledge to them." Her heart was in this work that we're involved in. And so God's going to help us in every way if we'll just put our trust in him and realize he wants to bless. And no sooner here, you see, had Boaz greeted this worker than his eye caught this young woman gleaning and doing this work. And so the Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz to visit. So many things you can think about as you go through this. But Boaz is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with his bride, the church, calling out a people for his name. And so Ruth, like this lost sinner outside the covenant family of God, bankrupt, a beggar now, has nothing. Her husband's been dead for whatever reason, but now she's at the family, the Bible says, of one that was a mighty man. He had some wealth. He was able to help her. I feel so sorry sometimes for people and say, oh, this just wouldn't do me any good. When you come to the Lord, He's got the ability to do everything in your life.
Amen.
I saw sometimes the doctor say, well, we don't see any hope. And then you go back a few weeks later and I say, well, it's gone. The problem's is gone. What? You know, we're still serving a great God today that can fix you up if He wants you to live.
Amen.
Or even if you have to be in a sick bed for a while. God can use that as a ministry sometimes.
Amen.
In that very place. I don't guess Paul wanting to be locked up so much, but that's where his ministry began. All roads led to Rome. But anyhow, notice a few things. Boaz takes the initiative in verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, either from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after her. I've charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. Now you know a young, she was a still attractive young lady, and she would have been vulnerable to a lot of places. But now she come under the protection and one said, don't you touch her. I'm glad God's got a way of protecting us, aren't you?
Amen.
He can still take care of his little children. And so Boaz takes the initiative. And this is what grace is all about. You know, our salvation is not just an afterthought of God, but God planned that from eternity past. And Boaz loved Ruth, I think, when he first saw her. He took these first steps to meet her need. And so Boaz spoke to her. And as he spoke to her, he comforted her and gave her, you know, the realization that she was in the right place. She didn't have to worry about anything else. Verse number 9, Boaz promises to protect Ruth and provide for her needs. Then you come on down through these other verses and you see how he even instructs those that are there around her to protect her and do something that they might encourage her. And this is what he does. Look in verse number 10. She fell on her face to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am just a stranger? Boaz answered her, it hath been fully shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. And so he's learning that Ruth has deliberately left these people who didn't know God, trusted in the God of Naomi, and his response to Ruth was, hey, I see what you've been doing, and I'm going to help you. And so Ruth didn't look back. She just kept going forward. A lot of times, you know, people stay miserable because they're just focused on everything else except what the Bible said, looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. And so instead of looking at ourselves or circumstances or other people and getting all gloomy, why not just trust in God? We sometimes say, Lord, I'll be happy if you'll just give me this and you'll do this. Why don't we just say, Lord, if it's thy will, put it in his hands and leave the results up to him. Actually, you want me to tell you the truth? It's up to him anyhow.
Amen.
You think you're going to do this and do that. God's the one that has the right say in everything.
Right.
Well, I'm holding on like that woman said. Somebody was asking her to fly, and she got on the plane. I probably told you this, but I think it's a good illustration. And when she got off, they said, well, did you make it all right? Did you make it all right? She said, yes, but you know, I never really did put my weight down in that seat, you know. That's the way people are. They think, somehow I'm going to do it. Well, God's the one that does it through us and for us, and we just trust in him. Well, look, Boaz, in verse number 14 and 18, here's something I just love. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, and she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her a parched corn, and she did eat and was suffice. Listen, verse 15. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and not rebuke her. And so Boaz was telling these men that worked for him, you know, it might look like, you know, there's some left over here, but you just put some extra out on purpose for her. And when she comes by, she'll have a basket full at the end of the day. I've seen so many times God has dumped some handfuls out on purpose. There's no other explanation for it. God did it, and you just can't take credit for it. I mean, it just can't all fit together as good as it does without God working in us. Don't you know God's able? When you get up and say, Lord, thy will be done, lead me, help me today. God can do that in every circumstance.
Amen.
And you get held up in traffic somewhere and throw a fit. You get down the road and realize, if I had been here, I would probably have been in that accident and all that. And while you were so discouraged and anxious, God's just taking care of you. He's putting out some handfuls on purpose that when you get there, everything will work out. And so as you come down through the last of these verses here, we realize we do live in hope. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the fields until evening and beat out, or, you know, when they would gather the barley or whatever, they had husks on it, and so they had to, you know, throw it in the iron and what have you, and get the good grain that they would take back into the house. And when she did that, it was about an ephah of barley. And so she ended up with this bushel of grain that she's able to take back. She took it up and went into the city, heard her mother-in-law that they had gleaned, and she brought it forth and gave to her. And she says, well, you know, mother did, where have you gleaned today? Verse 19. And so she showed her what she had and told her the man's name that had helped her during this time. Well, now, you know, Naomi begins to realize all that God is doing and how this great amount, 2 or 3 times more than what most people would have been able to find, this half bushel, and realized she was just actually beginning to have the first fruits of what God was going to do for her. Boaz was looking for more than just somebody to go out and pick up some excess grain. He knew, Elimelech, he knew whose widow this was. He knew what he was able to do in behalf of all of this. And so it's an exciting hope. These two widows was the central thought. Boaz was about to explain some things. Naomi helped Ruth to understand in the last part of these verses who Boaz actually was when she began to explain. Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that there may meet not only in any other field. So she kept fast for the maidens of Boaz to glean under the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. And so, verse number 20, what I skipped, but I want you to think about it. Naomi said unto her, blessed be the Lord who hath not left all his kindness in leaving thee to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is a near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And without going into a whole lot of details, I said, he had the privilege and the right to redeem the property of the one that had died, that they had mortgaged, and thought was gone, but God was about to show them something that they had not really planned at this time. You know, they couldn't have planned it anyhow. Naomi's family wasn't wealthy. Boaz's family had the means and the inclination now to do something about it. the wife of the deceased, as I said, went with the property, and so the kinsman redeemer was supposed to actually, you know, we talk about the brother died and the husband died, and the brother was to bring and raise up seed to his brother and all. But this was a biblical way that they had of keeping the last name, as it were, going. And so God was about to do something. They would inherit the property, and the family name and possessions would continue as theirs. And so this is what Ruth had been set up for. Ruth's faith in God and His Word led her to this particular field of Boaz. The love of Boaz for Ruth compelled him to pour grace out upon her that he might meet her needs. And so Ruth's experience of grace gave her hope that her kinsman would now be able to redeem that. Naomi's husband's estate, as it was to begin with. You know, it's better not to go out and leave, but I'm glad that God can forgive and God can exalt you in ways as His child that you never thought was possible. If I've ruined it, I've messed it up. Well, you come back and get on your face before God, and He can straighten you right out of that.
Amen.
He can install a new work in your life.
Amen.
Ruth's finding out. She didn't just get something to eat. She gets them what a blessing it is. Well, so much to think about. We'll look at chapter 3, Lord willing.